U's are halfway through their week of long journeys. Tuesday briefly looked like an unlikely win was on the cards, and now all focus is on a massive six-pointer this Saturday. Hello, and a very warm welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm Jordan Warland, and I've said six-pointer. I'm joined by Tom Walker to tell me if that's right or wrong.
Oh, yeah, lovely to hear the phrase. I think it's probably the time of year where it's very much apt, I think. I feel like when you say it, particularly pre-Christmas, but probably anything before February time, I'm not sure we're quite at the running yet, but you can definitely start to call things six-pointers, particularly when it's bottom of the league away from home, who have lost, I think, five games in a row.
Six.
There we go. Yep.
Is one win in 10.
Six it is now, or are you doing that for the benefit of people who listen on Monday?
Six as it currently stands.
It is. It's a big game, one to look forward to. And as you quite rightly say, it is a long journey in a week of long travelling, a lot of travelling.
Tom, have you got your ticket? You got your train ticket for Saturday?
Yeah, I have. I was just talking to you about it, George, as you well know. quite a lot of money poorer, but one return train ticket to Carlisle richer. Which is probably not the greatest thing in the world, but there we go. I was just saying to you there, and obviously we wanted to get it in, but one of the big reasons was that I want to, as a big glutton for punishment, as has been proven over a number of years now on this pod, I want to be sat here, at least with the comfort of being able to say I've been from the very bottom of the country to the very top of it. I've not seen us win a single game. That's light relief, I think, at this stage. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes, but definitely a long way to go. Too long, if anything.
I can't wait to see the little smile on your face come 5 o'clock on Saturday when we pick up a win. Let's make it happen.
Let's
make it happen.
Yeah, I'll be very happy. I'm sure we'll be celebrating, put it that way.
So this is not only a preview show, but also a review show, because we've got Tuesday night's trip to top of the league, Portsmouth, to dissect. I have a question for you, Tom, which is a bit of a sad one, before we talk about the actual details of the game. It's not in the running order either, so it's going to take you by surprise. Were the away fans, did you have the safe seating standing set up, or was it just the home fans next to you?
Yeah, I had the safe standing, as did a few hundred others.
Have you experienced that before?
I've done England games and stuff.
Yeah, so I've never had the pleasure. So I'm intrigued as to what it was like, because I remember CEO a month or so ago saying we'd see stadium plans in February. That's been knocked on, obviously. But one of the things he also said was the NRE redevelopment would be terrace with the view to switch it to that setup further down the line. So what was it like?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in it a couple of times before, not that specific one. Obviously, I'm not a regular in the away end at Fratton Park. Once a year is enough for me, frankly. Wembley has it, so we do that when we travel there to go and watch the national team, and one or two other examples as well. I like it, man. I like it. It's good. It gives you your own little space, which is nice. Whereas the NRE can be quite cramped at times, it's fair to say.
I'm a man that likes to stand at games, but come half time, do you love a little sit?
Yeah,
I like a bit of both.
I will say as well, and it's something I wanted to mention before we kind of got onto the bones of the game, really. But it might be particularly as the top end of the table looks, but increasingly so as the bottom end of the table looks. It might be a long time before we go back to Fratton Park, and I will say what a pleasure it is to go and watch football there. It's a fantastic ground. At this level and the one below, and probably the one above, proper old school stuff. And what they've done with the toilets is nothing short of remarkable. George, you should see him, mate. You remember we had the period where we spunked all the Man United money on apparently new toilets, but it's basically just a bit of stainless steel that people urinate on in the NRE. Portsmouth's are like utopia, mate. It's incredible. You've got to check it out. But yeah, the ground makes one hell of an atmosphere, and it makes an even better atmosphere when they turn around a 1-0 deficit to, in the end, quite comfortably beat poor opposition.
I instantly just want to scrap the running order we've got for today's pod. Forget about talking about Carlisle and just understand why these toilets are so great. But we shall.
Really bright. It feels like the wrong moment to go into loads of detail on this, and it's frankly not what people tune in for, hopefully. But just really bright, really new, really bright, really well done. Nothing more to add on that.
I think people tune in to hear your potty mouth, but normally your potty mouth isn't talking about actual toilets. So this is a first. Right. For 60 minutes on Tuesday night, it was all right, I thought. What was your general thoughts on the game from the away end?
Yeah, I think I'd probably tend to agree, to be honest. It was such a frustration to get pegged back for half time, wasn't it? Because if you go in a goal up there, you're like, right, something to cling on to second half, and we'd have hopefully made it really, really, really miserable for them to play in. But yeah, I think you know what, if the context you talk about it in is one where you've beaten Cheltenham and you come into this game with very little pressure on you, I think you're just like, I'm just happy to see us play like that. I'm happy to see us compete with a team like that in the way that we did. Like the Oxford game, for example, which obviously followed a pretty decent mini run. We went there and, you know, the result is fundamentally the same, but you can take a lot of heart from the performance, which we still can, and that's fine. Like for long periods, went pretty much toe-to-toe with currently the best team in the league. And for long periods of the first half particularly looked much better than them, and probably could and maybe on another night do go in at least a goal to the good. And at that point you're thinking it's kind of on here, but you know, I'm sure we'll come onto it, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunity for me to pick it apart. But it's the key moments which have let us down again, and it's senior players in the key moments who have let us down again. It's the same senior players in the same key moments who have let us down again, and that's the frustration. And you know, I mentioned a moment ago that if we're talking about this in the context of winning against Cheltenham, then you let it off, but having lost against Cheltenham, you kind of just need to step up and give a bit more, really. Not in terms of the overall performance, but just in terms of when, you know, the game is level or you're trying to see out a 1-0 lead into half time, or the game's level around the hour mark and you want to try and frustrate them, you just got to stand up and be better. And unfortunately we weren't, and Pompey took advantage pretty ruthlessly, and that's why they're top of the league, and we see it with 0 points and a very, very daunting triple Saturday to look forward to.
What were your thoughts on how Harris sort of set the team up on Tuesday night? Because it seemed to me there's been questions in the past, especially recently, about, you know, questioning how he set things up and it not being right. And I totally agree with those questions, but felt like Tuesday night was a slightly, you know, braver call. And I think I think the changes that he brought in made a real impact. You know, Brophy came back in, I thought was pretty decent down the flanks. Yeah, what was your sort of take on the changes that we had on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think we were expecting, you know, just to be proper, like backs to the wall stuff, like almost like a 5-4-1. I think we were expecting like proper, just like dig in and get out with a 0-0. And if you don't get out with a 0-0, then you lose the game something nil. But yeah, I think he kept it quite positive, and it did in so many ways was reminiscent of, I think, the performance against Oxford, that we just went at them. And it was almost like, you know, it was almost like the discussion had just been like, this is kind of a free hit because they looked like they're playing without a bit of pressure. I thought the ones that came in did quite well. Brophy, I think, did okay. Gibbons, I thought, played really well. Obviously, first we've seen of him. But I thought he looked like a really positive addition. And to be honest with you, I think maybe it makes Liam Bennett look over his shoulder just a touch. And there's one or two of the performers who have played well, I think, in recent weeks that look good again. And you know, particularly... that was Danny Andrew, who obviously got a goal, but also, like, you know, your Kai Kais and your Lancasters, who have looked just a little bit brighter in recent weeks than they have. So yeah, it was encouraging that we can make maybe one or two changes and still compete with a team like Pompey. I think it's worth noting that they themselves made a few changes, so it's not like we're going toe to toe with Pompey's absolute top first 11. So maybe in that sense it's a little bit of an easier task, and we've not taking advantage of it, but looked like we could have taken advantage of it. But yeah, I thought it looked good. It was better than what I was expecting it to look like, particularly for that first hour.
It was so interesting, you know, the dropping of Digby and playing Thomas. Like you were saying, like I was the same. I thought we'd go 4-5-1, soak it up and play on the counter. And to an extent, we did play on the counter, and I think we're quite a dangerous team on the counter with the pace that we've got and some of the quality that we've got up top now. Yeah, just interesting seeing Thomas come in and playing that when he's not been used against teams that we were expected to break down.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is that at least one of the two centre mids from Saturday had to not play. Like, there was no way he could go into that with the same two, because it would have just looked mental. And at some point, you stop looking at underperforming players and you start looking at the manager for just continually playing them. So something that had to change. But I do agree that it may be just.
I'm prolonging the conversation about underperforming midfielders, Tom.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
We'll
Plenty
get
of
there.
time.
We'll get there. Don't worry. The point I was going to make, just interesting to sort of see Thomas come in against, a team that we weren't expecting to attack. And I think the point that I wanted to get to, or the question I wanted to ask of you, is a lot has been made about the upcoming run of fixtures, and quite rightly, a lot has been made about the fact that it is a really difficult run. Bolton twice, Stevenage away, Borough. It's not going to be easy. But is there a part of you that, takes heart from sort of Tuesday night and goes, do you know what? Yes, it's difficult on paper, and yes, probably won't pick up too many points, but there is a little bit here to say actually we are a better squad than we have been previously, and maybe we shouldn't be fearing or writing off these games before they've even happened, which I think quite a few people are sort of saying, saying, look, this run, no points, this game on Saturday against Carlisle is, not win or bust, but it's super important because we're not really going to pick up much more for the next couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's natural when you look at an upcoming run of fixtures, you think you're going to beat the rubbish teams and lose against all the good ones, right? And that's the way it's always been, and that's the way it kind of always be, and to some extent that's the way it just pans out, because without going into, without trying to be too simplistic about it, the good teams are where they are for a reason, the bad teams are where they are for a reason, right? And hopefully we're sort of somewhere in the middle of that. But no, I think you're right. I think what we've seen of late, and obviously, I guess if you're looking at ha like ever since Harris came in, because for a lot of Bonner's time, when we were in League One, like we did really struggle in these sorts of games, and there were too many of them. Obviously, a few notable exceptions where we actually went and got quite iconic victories, I guess. But on way, 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 way too many occasions, we were coming out of it with our asses handed to us and having been like really, really outclassed. And obviously, the fixtures that Harris has had to manage so far haven't included loads against these sorts of teams. I think you'd class probably Oxford as one of them, and you'd probably class Pompey as the other. But that aside, I don't really think we've gone into too many games thinking, right, we'll probably definitely lose this, because I think the rest of them have been pretty winnable games. So like the small sample size that we've got is encouraging, definitely. And obviously the fact that we play at home in a couple of those games, particularly the Derby, where old-fashioned
Form goes out
conditions,
the
of course.
window.
There's the one. You said it before I did. You knew what I was going to say.
But the
There's like
disappointing thing is their form is really bad. So
a.
you kind of don't want form to go out the window. You kind of want both to be a bit rubbish and just have a nil-nil.
And you know what? Comparatively, compared to the rest of the season, our form over the last 10 games has actually been okay. So if form goes out the window, maybe that is something to worry about. I hadn't thought of it like that, Jordan. I really hadn't thought of it like that. But thanks for bringing me back down to earth. You might need to do it a few more times in the sort of next 10 days as well. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that what we saw on Tuesday night gives us a bit of encouragement. But you know what? Like, I don't want to sound too unreasonable about this, and I don't want to sound like, just like too extreme. But like, we did still lose the game, and we did still make mistakes in key moments. So yeah, like there's an encouragement in the way that we played and pressed, for the first half and bits of the second. But I still came out of it with a real sense of like, it's kind of similar things that are costing us. And if you want to flip it around a little bit, if you continue doing that against the top teams, they do punish you. And we've seen that at Portsmouth, and we will see it in games to come if the same things happen again.
You'd said just there the same things are costing us. One of the things Neil Harris said post game was, and he said it again today in his presser that we've both watched, it's about chances and not being clinical. And it's encouraging to see that, the data and the chances are all increasing. But it's, similar story to Saturday, maybe not as extreme. We need to be tucking away these chances because we're just not good enough to go on and win games, going, oh, we'll get one later on. So yeah, a couple of big ones, especially first half. What's your sort of thoughts on this topic? I know you spoke about it at the weekend's pod, but yeah, not converting when we really should be.
Yeah, I think, look, I would also just kind of counteract this a bit by saying that for a lot of the way that I play was nice. I can't really think back to too many like examples of gilt-edged chances that we've not put away, like Saturday, for example, where I think you can point to three or four or potentially even a couple more examples of moments where we just simply should have had the ball in the back of the net or at least made the keeper work really hard for it. I'm not really sure that was so much the case at Pompey. I think we played quite well, but I think it's a bit of a stretch to say that we lost the game because we were wasteful in front of goal. I think if you're looking ahead to Saturday with it, I think and the rest of the season, to be honest with you, I think what I would say is that there's more than enough experience, there's more than enough quality to think that if you create chances, you'll score goals. Whereas, to be honest with you, if you look back 6 months or a year or to seasons that have gone by in League One, I think we were probably sat here talking about the fact that we could create chances. We just haven't got anyone quite good enough to sit the ball in the back of the net regularly. You're looking at Ironside at some points, it was like even like Tolhadj and guys like that. Admittedly, he's gone on to do, both of them excellent things in lower divisions. But I think now, like, we've got the pedigree, we've got the experience, we've got everything that suggests if you do things right in the sort of middle third of the pitch, the top end of the pitch will take care of itself.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you three questions on the bounce now, and I don't want you to give me a matter of fact answer, if that makes sense. So the first question, our goal, was it in or not, Tom?
Course it was. Of course it was. You know why? Because our boy Will Norris made sure it went in.
The commentators made a really good point. They were like one for sort of trivia, one for pub quizzes here, but how often do you see in a game the first two yellow cards going to goalkeepers? Both for protesting decisions there. So yeah, it was a weird one. I did watch it back a few times. I feel pretty confident that it was over the line, and the Lino flag straight away. So yeah, end of.
We'll have
Love
it.
that. Love a bit of that. Second one then. Again, no matter of fact answer here, saying well, it was given. Thoughts on the Portsmouth penalty? Do you think it was a bit harsh, or do you think it was the right decision?
It felt like the right decision at the time, and that's not really it's not really changed, to be honest. Yes, I think it probably was, to be honest. I don't feel a burning sense of injustice about that, to be
I'm in
honest.
the camp that thought it was a bit soft. That's just me. That's just me. I feel like he's kind of gone over. In fact, I'm still not 100% sure who did the foul, if it was Morrison or Bennett. It feels a little bit like, because both of them were so close to him, it obviously looked to the ref in real time like it definitely was. But
Yeah, I
I don't
think
know.
it probably helps that, like, well, I guess not helps from our perspective, but two have had a go at him and he's ended up going down. And it looks like, yeah, it's probably better, isn't it?
Yeah. Final one then. Again, no matter of fact answer by saying, well, it was given, Jordan. Second goal that Pompey scored. Offside for you, Tom?
Can I use the word Jordan in this answer? Not necessarily
Please
you.
do. Please do.
I don't care if it was offside or not. I don't
It's
care,
given.
honestly. Look, we've totally thrown it away in that instance for me. And obviously, I talked about key moments of the game, letting ourselves down. The penalty is obviously one example, and perhaps it's a little far to it. We've let ourselves down with that, but you're a couple of minutes out from half time. You'd like to think you can just see that out. It's a moment where we've not stood up to the pressure and we've not performed. The second goal, like, wow. I mean, look, we sat here and interestingly, there seems to have been a bit of debate about this, Jordan. I don't know if you've seen it, about the value that Jordan Cousins has brought to this team this season. And I'm not here to try and suggest or try and spin a narrative that he's a totally irredeemably terrible footballer who's provided no value for us in his time here. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what I've said. It's not what I think at all. But you'd have to accept that in the context of the second goal, it's on him for me, totally. Under absolutely no pressure at all. Like, he's not got players around him. He's not being harried too much. He's just giving the ball back to Portsmouth. And again, we're talking about key moments of the game, senior professionals just totally losing their heads. And I'm thinking, like, you've got the experience to just be better. And the thing that frustrates me is that this follows Cheltenham, where exactly the same thing happened. He cost us that game because his mistake leads to their winner. Cost us the game, in my opinion, at Portsmouth because his mistake leads to their winner. And this follows a string of performances which just haven't been up to the right standard. And if this is like a youth player coming in or someone who's maybe played their way through the divisions and is trying to make it at this level for the first time or the first couple of years, like a Digby, for example, who's had to really draft to make his way here, I could maybe let him off because I'm just like, well, maybe there's elements of your game that aren't just there. He's played 200 odd games in the championship. Should be better. Should do better. And for me, like, we can sit here and we can cry us and we can moan about, was it offside? Was it onside? But if senior players do their jobs better, we're not in that situation, at least at that moment anyway. And that might be harsh. It might come across as harsh. I'm sure there's some people who might have a different opinion. But that's just the way that I saw it.
I think that sentiment I agree with, and I would apply it to others, notably Ryan Bennett at the back, who I think
Bennett will get his turn. Don't you worry, Bennett will get his turn. Because I was going to come on to this as well. And if we're talking about sort of key players not performing in key moments, like there was a moment in the 95th minute where, or it was towards the end of the game, I can't remember when it was, Liam Bennett got absolutely cleaned out on the right hand side. And Ryan Bennett went into this like frenzy of like abusing the ref. And I was like, it's like the 92nd minute. Like you're showing a bit of character now. You're showing a bit of passion and emotion now. Do it for the rest of the game. And again,
I think I think Bennett, since he's come back at Blackburn, wasn't it? His comeback, steadily performances have decreased, similar to Jordan Cousins, sort of steadily decreased over the last few games.
But yeah, I want to also just add to that because I know for a fact it's something that gets picked up on. But I'm not saying he's been or either of them, to be honest, because I think Bennett actually probably until we dropped out of the squad was probably a good shout for player of the season, to be honest. Interesting.
Well, I was actually gonna say I don't think this season he's touched the levels that he touched last year.
Maybe not, but like particularly at the start of the season, he was an absolute bedrock at defence that, you know, was at times just impossible for opposition to break down. But look, I think the point I'm making is I don't want to go overboard on the fact that I'm not saying that they're all like rubbish footballers and can't contribute stuff, but when they've got the experience, they've got the pedigree in the game that they have, I simply just expect better. Like there's levels in football, there's levels, like the standards that players like that should apply to themselves that maybe others wouldn't, and it'd be unfair to put on others. But with those guys, maybe it's because I think they're better, you know, than they're showing, and maybe it's just a frustration of seeing players that you think should and could be able to do better, just not being able to do it. And like I say, Jordan, like it's key moments in the game there. Mm-hmm. Overall, we were fine at Portsmouth, but we shot ourselves in the foot for me on a couple of occasions.
Yeah, I think when I listened to the pod from the weekend, I found myself not entirely agreeing with sort of the thoughts on Jordan Cousins, because I do think he's...
Say how it is, Jordan. You thought we were talking rubbish. Say how it is.
Look, you know I'm a man that's going to stick up for any Jordan in the Cambridge squad, even if they do naughty things in taxis. But the point I was going to make is, I think it's an expectation thing, right? And I think we're quite right to have different expectations. And, you know, you made a comparison to, say, Digby earlier, who sort of got the quote-unquote credit in the bank because, you know, he got the part of the lockdown legends and has grafted with us. And I look at people like Jordan Cousins, George Thomas, Ryan Bennett, and I just know that they are the top earners. And I think I am, yeah, I think maybe this might be a little bit unrealistic in some people's eyes or a bit harsh in some people's eyes, but I just naturally put them on a different pedestal to judge them on. And I see blips, which I think the Jordan Cousins situation is a blip. I see that a little bit more along the lines of being complacent rather than sort of, you know, out of form. I think with Cousins and with Bennett, I think the frustration, and it's fine to be frustrated, by the way, I think the frustration there is just knowing that they are both better than that.
Yeah, that's it. That's absolutely it. And, you know, what maybe it's because we give a lot of airtime to it. And obviously we spoke about it following Burton and Cheltenham and obviously this evening as well. But, you know, it's not like a big like narrative. It's not like a big thing at this stage. It's just a few back-to-back performances where I feel we've been let down by key players.
Do you think one impacts the other? So do you think Ryan Bennett and Jordan Cousins, the form is impacting each other? And what I mean by that is, we've dropped Okadina, who played out a little bit from the back, which means that Jordan Cousins is now dropping a little bit deeper to collect the ball and start those attacks, start those movements, start passing, makes himself a little bit liable to be pressed and naturally as we've seen over the last couple of games, hasn't sort of coped well with that. Do you think there's kind of sort of a link between the two?
I don't know. That's a very technical point, that, Jordan. That's what I didn't see coming. You caught me off guard there.
Come on, mate, you're doing your badges with Caspel.
I'm absolutely not. Just to be clear. Nah, and again, do you know what? Maybe it's a bit simplistic, but I think these are players that have played at a high level. They should be able to do better, and I fundamentally expect better. And I think blaming it on Ocadina not being in the team or not having a ball playing defender behind you is a bit of a cop out because the mistakes that he's made are on have been on him and not on
Yeah.
anybody else.
I think it gives Neil Harris some dilemmas going into Saturday because, if I was a Carlisle scout, I would have looked at the last two games and gone, right, Jordan Cousins doesn't like being hurried and doesn't like the pressure on him. So let's jump ahead then to Saturday and start sort of thinking about possible lineups. Like, would you drop Cousins because of the form? Do you think that's something that would benefit him, or do you just think actually, given the known quality that he does have on his day, it can't, he's not one that you can drop, like Digby got dropped on Tuesday.
I'd probably go along with that, to be honest with you. And I think that, look, Saturday is and as we'll, I'm sure, emphasize, is a massive game. It's a huge match in the context of the short term bit of this season, and obviously, you want to set yourself up going into this next run of, frankly, more difficult games. Well, and I think in those circumstances, managers rarely think overthink it too much and like try something totally different. I think it'll be tried and trusted. I wouldn't be surprised to see it be Cousins and Digby. Again, just let's face it, they are the tried and the trusted in a sense. I think like I can understand why you'd want one of them in there, Cousins or Digby. And for me, Cousins is the better player. So he should start on that basis. But I'd like to think that we could have a Thomas in there as well. It's always nice, isn't it? We have a Jordan and a Tom. How about that? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Lovely stuff.
Yeah. I don't think it will look like markedly different from Tuesday night or what it's been really since Harris came in. I think we're likely to see maybe Liam Bennett come back in because obviously he offers a little bit more going forward, perhaps.
Definitely.
And you might maybe see a change out wide. Maybe Brophy goes and maybe Kachunga comes back in, something like that. But yeah, I don't think it will be that different. I don't think it should be really, because based on what we saw on Tuesday night, there's plenty of reason to think we can go there and do something on Saturday.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the word there is trust, isn't it? Ocadina's been bombed out of the squad, doesn't seem to make the subs bench anymore. Rossi's in there in his place, but doesn't seem to be trusted yet to come in.
I did see someone make an interesting point, actually. I think it was on the message board that maybe the reason that Ocadine doesn't make the bench but starting more games is that maybe Rossi's a more versatile option to have on the bench. Like, let's say we're 1-0 up on Saturday and we're down to like 10 men or something, and you just want to get bodies in there. You're probably
Well,
bringing
we've
Rossi on
seen him.
instead of
We've seen him
Ocadine.
do that role, haven't we? Who was it? Was it Blackpool at home, something like that? He just got thrown on, and it's
Yeah,
like,
I think you might be right.
go five at the back and just get your head on it.
Yeah, well, physically, he's obviously more of a presence, isn't he? So maybe that's why that happens.
Also, Tom, if you're 1-0 down and chasing the game, throw him up top, right? Get him up there, big lad.
You're talking to the wrong person. That's a Matt Caspel trait, that.
Get your bingo card out. Right, before we go too far into the Carlisle chat, we should probably get some Carlisle perspective on how their rather dreadful season so far has been going. Got two Carlisle fans chatting to each other. I think it's Swindle interviewing Lee from the Brunton Bugle.
Right then, news fans. I'm joined by Lee Rooney from the Brunton Bugle to look ahead to the long trip to Carlisle. Lee, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, nice to see you. Wish it was in better circumstances for us both, really. I mean, it's
Yeah.
been a torrid old season for Carlisle so far. Talk us through it.
It's a strange one because I think if we're realistic and we go back, we probably didn't expect to get promoted last season. I think we all sort of thought of this season as stabilisation under Paul Simpson after he kept us up performing a minor miracle the season before. But yeah, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. We had a really brilliant first half of the season. Second half of the season was a bit more rocky, a bit patchy, but we eventually got ourselves into a half decent position and going up through the playoffs, incredible achievement. It's so, so remarkable. But truth be told, the squad that came up wasn't good enough for League One. That's been the biggest problem, really. And we the additions in the summer weren't that great either. The problem is we got promoted on a bottom six budget in League Two, and we've still got a bottom six budget in League One, and it's not improved that much, to be honest, in the time, you know, that we've over the summer. Behind the scenes, the takeover has been taking place of the club, which was completed in November, and that's made a huge difference in January in terms of players being able to bring in. But by that point, a lot of the damage has already been done. So we've been in a situation where we've sort of been chasing our tail most of the season. And one injury in particular in November, Callum Guy being ruled out of an ACL for the 9 months, that just killed us. Because at that point, we were only losing games like 1-0. So it was quite tight. And you thought, okay, you know, we can maybe get ourselves away once we get a couple of signings in. But then once we lost him, we ended up losing 3-0 at Blackpool, 5-1 at Reading. And it was kind of like at that point, okay, that realizing how big Guy was to our season was quite clear at that point. But the truth is, we just haven't had goals as well. That's just really not helped us either. So it's been a real lesson, I think, for us. And I think Simo's kind of accepting that now, that he didn't even realize just how good League One was compared against the last time we were up here. I think it's quite clear. There's a lot more technical football at this level now. So yeah, it's very much a lesson learned season.
Well, yeah, like you say, it's been tough times, and one win in the last 10, six losses on the bounce. But I've seen that, you know, Carlisle United have been scoring in most of their games. So is it problems at the back that have been the issue for you this season?
Like I said, up until Callum Guy got injured, no, it wasn't really. We weren't. I think at that point, we'd only conceded two goals in a game. We'd never conceded more than two. Or maybe three once, I don't know. But we really hadn't conceded more than two goals very often. And then suddenly, as soon as he went, that protection for the back four was just completely gone, and confidence just completely dropped. And you saw a big difference because the ball wasn't sticking up front either. So, yeah, that's as much where the problem has been, is been in attack. We just haven't been able to create enough going forward. So as soon as we concede that goal, the confidence just goes completely out of the team. If you look at the stats now, yeah, it looks like we've got one of the worst defences in the division. And yeah, we do, realistically. But up until that point in November, actually, our record wasn't too bad. But that's really when we've just completely killed our season.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's been a tough one. You know, similarly for us, I mean, we're quite a lot better off points-wise, but consistency has been a problem for us. And just a word on goalkeepers. You seem to have been struggling to kind of nail down a number one. What's been going on there?
Yeah, so in the summer, obviously, Thomas Hurley played every game last season for us. He broke our clean sheet record in the process. But I never got the impression Simo was 100% convinced by him. You know, he's not really kind of a modern goalkeeper in the way that they can play the ball out with their feet and that sort of thing. And I think Simo wanted something a little bit more like that. We brought in Jocko Landerson as a backup on loan from Reading, who had a decent record at Stevenage and Morecambe and Exeter, you know, as a loanee. And he was absolute garbage. Like, he was awful. Like, I think in his eight games, he made seven mistakes. But there's only one game where he kept a clean sheet and actually did quite well. The rest of the games, there was just always a rick there. There was always, and like, he got sent off at Wickham with the old rolling the ball out and not checking behind your shoulder to see an attacker coming in. So, yeah, it's really, really frustrating that, you know, that didn't work out. Holy had to come back into the team, and he did okay at first, but then he started to have a few ricks. And I think the fact that Anderson then dislocated his shoulder, so we only had young Gabe Breeze, who's 19 years old, local lad, who's back up, and Simmer had to stick with Holy. But then he made three mistakes in it, like three games in a row in December, and it got to the point where Simmer said, look, I might even have to consider whether I take him out the firing line now. And he did, and we were all a bit shocked. He put Gabe Breeze in for his debut on Boxing Day at Fleetwood. We drew 1-1, and actually Gay played about three or four games in a row and did quite well. We won one of those games against Port Vale. He did okay. But long-term, he was never really going to be the solution for this season. So we went and spent, I think rumours are about 150 grand at least on Harry Lewis from Bradford. He's found it tough so far, but that's not so much his fault. I don't think there's any goal you could say he's made a big mistake. It's been more that they're under the caution a lot of games, and he looks a lot better with the ball at his feet than most of our other keepers. It sounds like we've offered Gabe Breeze a long-term contract now because we really do think he's got a big future. He hasn't accepted that yet because I think he thinks he deserves a bit more in terms of his wage and a bit some of the bits on it. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle goalkeeper-wise, well, it's not really been our biggest problem this season, even though the two keepers we had at the start of the season were making a few ricks here and there.
Yeah, well, it's when you're down there, it seems to be tough all over the pitch, doesn't it? We
Yeah.
can very much appreciate that. If we look ahead to the game, then obviously, as I said, you know, Carlisle have still been scoring goals. Where do you think Carlisle could cause Cambridge some problems on Saturday?
So it was a good question. It's funny because, like, against some of the better teams, we've done all right this season. Like Portsmouth last week, it was a pretty tight game, and they just nicked it with the one mistake we made. Barnsley the other week, they won 2-1, and they got a dodgy penalty, and we could have been 4 or 5 up at half time in that game, and we just pressed them. We pressed their back line because they really wanted to play out, and we won the ball really high up the pitch. It's a bit different when you're playing against teams a bit further down the league because they don't play in quite the same way. I don't know because we sort of changed things up a little bit in recent games. We've gone 4-3-3. We've pushed Mellish back into midfield again. The key thing for me is just getting Jordan Gibson on the ball for us. If we get him on the ball and get him playing, he can cause problems for teams. Jack Diamond looks a decent sign so far, but still finding his feet fitness-wise because he hasn't played for a year because obviously what's happened away from football for him. And yeah, Neil Armstrong, Luke Armstrong up front. He's looked really lively so far, but he's just had no service. And it's whether we like if we get the ball up to him, I think he'll cause problems. But we're finding it very hard to get the grip on games, and we've had a few like ridiculous injuries as well this season, which haven't helped either. So I sound a bit negative and downbeat here because actually we played all right in the last couple of games, but it's just at the moment it's just a much of a much of this is the kind of game we're sort of looking at, and the game we should have played on Tuesday night against Burton that was called off because of the Warlock pitch. It's the what kind of games we should be looking at and targeting for results, being realistic in the position we're in. But I don't know. You guys don't tend to score that many, but you don't concede many either. I think you've got the best defense in the bottom half of the division. So you know it's a very hard one to judge.
Yeah, it certainly is. There's a lot of trepidation from Cambridge United fans too about this game. It's a huge one. And just before we wrap up, what's your prediction for the match on Saturday?
Look, 6 defeats in a row. We've got to break that at some point. I'm going to go for a scrappy 1-0 win, and I think Luke Armstrong will get the winner.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of that, but it does sound quite likely. And just before we go, Lee, what's the feeling like around fans? Obviously, 12 points from safety at the moment, but you know, it still sounds like there's kind of like hope surrounding Carlisle, or does it feel like it's a bit too little, too late now?
I think in terms of staying up, I think the hope's starting to evaporate fairly quickly there, and I think most people are kind of accepting it. I think when you hear Paul Simpson's talk about it, he's not accepting it, but you sort of get the impression the way he's talking is like, you know, we've got to give a good account of ourselves the rest of the season. And I think in his head, he's on for preparing for next season in League Two, because actually, League Two next season, if Wrexham and who else was at the top, Wrexham, Stockport, and Mansfield go up, and maybe let's say Notts County or someone else in the playoffs go up, a lot of the big hitters are gone, and suddenly it doesn't look quite as challenging of a league. And the big thing for us is off the pitch. It's changed dramatically in the last couple of months with the Piatek family coming in from Jacksonville, Florida, and they've invested so much so far. I mean, apparently we paid £250,000 for Luke Armstrong. That's double our record transfer fee. You know, we've paid 150 grand for Lewis. We've signed Harrison Neal, apparently we paid a small fee for, and Georgie Kelly from Rotherham. So we're splashing a little bit of money to build a squad for the future. And off the pitch, so much work's going on. They're actually going to put those boxes in the back of the East Stand finally, you know, 25 years after it was built. There's all kinds of stuff they're doing, but they're already seeking out a new training ground and getting that sorted. And we're very close to announcing a location for that. So there's a real positive vibe around the club. There's a bit of frustration that maybe this is a missed opportunity this season, but I think the majority of the fans are still behind Simo, and even if we go down, as long as we start to see improvement towards the end of the season in terms of the way we play, I think generally people will be happy to stick with him whether we go down or not.
Well, yeah, as a club very close to my heart, I hope after Saturday it does pick up for you. But yeah, listen, Lee, thanks for joining us.
No worries. Cheers.
Thank you very much to Lee, and of course to our pal Swindle, who is doing the away day on Saturday, Tom.
Allegedly.
Back in his hometown.
Oh, I can't wait for it. It's going to be shameless, isn't it? It's like, it'll be showing us the sights. Anyway, that's the tour concluded. That took 5 minutes. Is that harsh? Probably is.
On the running order, Tom, I've written this. Carlisle lost last six, not kept a clean sheet in 25 games. What could possibly go wrong, Tom Walker?
You don't deserve your Cambridge United fan membership card or whatever. If you see a run like that, it doesn't just fill you with fear. If they had won 8 games in a row, I'd be more confident, genuinely. Because I just think either way, it has to end at some point. And I don't know if it's like me looking at our results and our form and our history more than other clubs, because frankly, why would I know other clubs in this detail? But I just feel like we always set teams off on better runs. Yeah. And let's be honest, if you're Carlisle, you're absolutely targeting this. We talked about Cheltenham coming to the Abbey on Saturday. They'd have seen that as a must win. If that is a must win, for Carlisle, this is everything. This is proper shit or bust sort of time, I think.
Well, I was going to ask, who do you think the pressure is on this Saturday? Who was going to feel the pressure more? Is it Carlisle or is it us? Because I think
it's us.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. I think you can make a very valid case that, you know, given that we've lost 2 on the trot, given that we, you know, only picked 1 point up from the Burton and Cheltenham doubleheader at home, you know, the remaining fixtures this month, this is a huge, huge one on us. And Carlisle, you know, like Lee was saying in the fan interview there, like the hope's not fully gone, but there is a little bit more sort of like acceptance there that probably isn't going to happen. So yeah, they'll be looking at this and seeing blood in the water for sure. But I think for me, we need the points more.
Yeah, I think so. It's all tightened up there a lot, and it's incredible what a couple of games does to the league table. Like it's such a tight league, you know, at both ends really. That like, you know, we sat here literally last week saying that, do you know what? If we win on Saturday against Cheltenham, like you can pretty much write off 3 of those teams, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, like they're not miles away. Yeah. And it's literally been like the space of 1 week that's done that, the space of, well, 4 days, I guess, and only a couple of games. And there are a couple of other big fixtures on Saturday as well. Like I'm looking particularly at Cheltenham Port Vale, which is obviously a big one, which involves 2 of the teams around us. You know, you're looking at clubs like Reading, like are they going to start to pull themselves clear a little bit, having had a few good results recently? And I think, like, the worrying thing for me and what makes it such a big game is that when I look at the teams around us or below us, Vale have obviously just brought in Darren Moore, you know, highly experienced coach, really, really positive appointment. I think you'd struggle to find anyone who would disagree too much with that. They've got a game in hand on us. They're only 4 points behind as it is. Charlton are Charlton, so you just expect they'll get better. Even though I have my suspicions they could be this season's MK Dons. Then you've got Shrewsbury and Burton, who just feel like really comfortable League One teams and just find a way. And then you're looking above us and you're like, Reading probably be all right. Wickham probably be all right. And yeah. Then it's teams who probably just have done too much of the job already to like drop down. So, you know, without trying to put too much of a negative spin, having put a real positive spin on it this time only a week ago, a couple of bad results changes everything. And all of a sudden you're looking over your shoulder much more than you are looking towards sort of being safe by the end of March or whatever, which is what it could have been.
One thing just quickly on the fan preview, something that Lee said there about Carlisle's story of their season that sort of really kind of sat with me, said that they got promoted last year on a bottom six budget. They weren't expected to be anywhere near promotion. And then they've come in this season, squad wasn't good enough. And yeah, again, they've got a bottom six budget. And that just sort of sat with me and I don't know, I don't want to get too philosophical, but just kind of makes me think what actually a great job has been done by Mark Bonner sort of in those first couple of years, keeping us up, especially the first year, you know, where we didn't, you know, throw a ton of money at it in January. And we obviously did have a small budget and we were in the same boat as Carlisle. We're in a division that we weren't expecting to be in. So yeah, really interesting, sort of made me sort of really sort of value and appreciate everything that's gone on so far and makes me just want to stay in this league even longer, Tom. Right. Coming to the game then, Neil Harris in his presser today, no fresh injury concerns, which is always lovely to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're just about approaching a point where we've got a lot of the players you would like available to us. I still think we've sorely missed a Hadmay just a little bit, even though Lyle Taylor's coming and done a really good job. Mm-hmm. And I hope we see him quite soon. But, hopefully we see Harrison Dunk back at some point. But I think,
well, the sad news is it's not going to be in time to score against Peterborough, which is...
Oh, you never know.
Devastating for everyone. It's mind games, maybe.
He'll find a way. Don't you worry. But yeah, we've got plenty of options to talk through and to pick from. And to be honest, like, again, like, I don't want to kind of overestimate our status in this division, but I think if you go man for man, manager for manager, I think you've got to fancy us. I think you've got to think that, like, there's enough in that squad to really see expect we can go to Carlisle and win on Saturday, which maybe isn't a massive compliment because they are literally bottom of the league. But I think you can see the point I'm getting at, which is that, like, there's not loads and loads and loads of games in this league that we'll go to and think, player for player, we're a better team than the other team.
Yeah.
I think Saturday's one of them. And I think if we come out of it with, certainly if we lose, but I think realistically anything less than a win will be quite disappointing.
We touched on lineups before the fan interview. We talked about central midfield. We talked about Liam Bennett coming in at right back. Any other changes that you think might happen?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that it's like crying out for. I think you'll see like the odd personnel change here and there, but I don't think you'll see anything like systemic or anything like too structural. So no,
I've got one. I've got a hunch that the Bond starts. I'm not saying that we dropped Taylor, but I've got a feeling we might see more of him in that game, possibly even a start.
Interesting. I mean, to me, Lyle Taylor's kind of in the talisman, so he has to start if he's fit and available.
Mm-hmm.
Although, agreed. I guess then you're asking the question, is he's played quite a lot of football Saturday to Tuesday, well, sort of Saturday to Tuesday and a half, then Saturday, Tuesday. I guess an argument could be, is that too much for someone who's not played much for the last sort of 18 months? But yeah, maybe. But mate, how refreshing is it to have a couple of good options up there? Because if for whatever reason Lyle Taylor can't start or doesn't start, you've got a striker who, in theory, is capable of scoring goals at this level and is capable of causing teams problems. So, yeah, I'm not sure I'm there with you, George, just yet, but I'm not dead against it. Put it that way.
Moosenet time. Let's talk about score predictions. What are you feeling?
Hang on a second. Just feel for a moment while I try and find the current league table, because I'm sitting quite pretty, I believe.
So bear in mind, Carlisle haven't kept a clean sheet in the last 25 games.
Oh, fuck.
Bear in mind that, right?
What a score
prediction. Because the Carlisle fan that we spoke to reckons they're going to sneak it 1-0. Could see it happening, man. See it happening.
Especially if you just sat and waxed lyrical about the fact we've actually got some forward options who can hurt teams.
Think positive, man. Let's think positive.
That can't be true. What do you mean they've not kept a clean sheet in 25 games?
I read that. I haven't actually fact checked that. So apologies if that is a lie.
It's probably true, isn't it? Mate, that is terrifying. So you're telling me they've lost six in a row and they've not kept a clean sheet for 25 games?
25 games. And they've won once in the last 10. Although having said that, the guy that Swindle spoke to there, I said, you know, they were unfortunate against Portsmouth to an extent and unfortunate a little bit against Derby. So
what you're saying is they're not, like, not only are those stats sort of going against us, you're telling me they're improving as well. Oh, dear.
Perhaps they're due a win, given that, you know, they've been unfortunate in a couple of past games. I'm not falling for it. I'll go 2-1 Cambridge. It's going to be a bit like, it's going to be like the Cambridge team that rocked up at Shrewsbury.
Oh, mate. Sorry, you've really thrown me off for that stat. That is just a terrifying thing. Oh, dear.
You've got a long train journey on Saturday to dwell on that stat as well.
I just spent 95 quid on a train ticket. Oh, for God's sake. Oh, dear. I was going to be positive before that as well, and it's just done me. It's going to be 1-0 Carlisle, isn't it? It's going to be 1-0 Carlisle.
It's got 1-0 Carlisle written on it, yeah.
It's got it written all over like a stick of Brighton Rock, right through the middle of it. It's just like Cheltenham away early in the season. I remember going into that one and we were just like, it's so obvious what's going to happen here. And I was just starting to get the sinking feeling it might be exactly the same here. And I tell you what, if we do lose, then it's panic stations a little bit.
So I'm just flicking back on their past fixtures to see if I can see a clean sheet. I've got one in the middle.
You're going to be going a little while by the sounds of it. So
I've got one in the middle of November at home to Harrogate in the EFL Trophy. You don't even count pizza games, so we can't have that.
Big time, big fan.
Yeah, not seeing one in the league In October, we beat them, of course, in October. Trying to remember that game.
October, and they still not get one. Oh dear.
2nd of September, they beat Shrewsbury Town at home 2-0. There's your league clean sheet.
Oh my God. I'm just gonna go 1-0 and just say nothing else. 1-0 Carlisle, and look, let's just dissect it on Sunday if we can simply bring ourselves to do it.
I like to end the preview pods that I'm on, Tom, with a little bit of nostalgia. I think this might pick us up a little bit. There's been some absolute doozies away at Carlisle. High scoring games in glorious sunshine, unexpected hat tricks from Meddy Alito. But the one I want to talk about very briefly before we leave, it's got to be the promotion season. A record breaking goal for Paul Mullin. And then at the very end, the Wizard dribbling around people, keeping hold of it. And then all of a sudden, just passing it into nowhere because the camera angle hadn't pulled out. But all of a sudden, Adam May appears and slams it into the net.
Lampard-esque on the edge of the box.
Oh, what an
Can't see
afternoon,
your
mate.
days. Yeah, that was brilliant. I think that was one of them where you were like, yeah, this is on this. Mate, there's got to be more of a shout for the 4-all though, because that was ridiculous. And you see this sometimes in like the lower leagues, and you just think that could and probably should have just been 1-all or 0-0 or
Yeah.
something. And no, not nobody would have cared.
Because that was like first or second game of the season. It
I think it was our first away game.
properly felt like a pre-season game, right? Because it was just a bit
Yeah.
silly. Like, no one could defend.
It was absolutely mental. It was
Ebere scored?
ridiculous.
Did he get a hat trick?
Scored a hat trick, yeah.
Yeah. Good
And
player.
friend of the pod, James Denton, will crucify me if I don't mention that there was a bloke on the train back, a Carlisle fan. They've got quite a big London Carlisle contingent, who for the thick end of 4.5 hours did not stop talking about Djabo Ebere. And by the end of it was really, really nauseating. I have to
Did you
say.
just want to like sink your teeth into his thigh and just leave a tooth in there? That bad.
I was just like, mate, shut up. He's admittedly he's had a good game, but Carlisle to London, that's a long way. It's a long train journey to get hearing about the name of one spectacularly average League Two footballer.
Brilliant. Right. Let's hope for some of that magic on Saturday. Thank you everyone for listening. We will be back with the review show on Monday morning, hopefully talking about a positive result. And then, yeah, gearing up for a double game week. Bolton and Borough at home. Exciting times, Tom.
Exciting or terrifying, depends which way you want to spin it, George.
See you soon.